so right now I'd like to bring up two UCSC students to talk about sort of UCSC specific issues and how the LRGP intersects with privatization and corporatism. So I'd like to invite up Jonna and Leah.
Starting with sustainability, this is what we've been talking about all quarter. You know, so looking at all of you here, how many of you are ready to go to work for a sustainable future? Right, this is pretty sick. How many of you have had intense, you know, long, life-changing conversations about what sustainability is? Now, how many of you lose sleep at night trying to figure out what sustainability is and how we're going to get there? You know, so. This is kind of the debate that we'll have. There's as many people in this room as there are definitions of what sustainability are. We all have a kind of a different definition, you know. And so as we kind of come to terms of what is sustainability, you know, there's this process, this constant redefinition that we're going through and trying to figure it out. At UCSC, we hear a lot of people talking about sustainability. It's a common word. In an interview with Chancellor Blumenthal a few weeks ago, his press conference was in media outlets. The first thing that he said before he took questions was he was talking about how UCSC is moving towards sustainability, towards green building, towards water conservation, sustainable food practices, all things that are, you know, great accomplishments, that we're a role model for universities across the U.S. in finding, you know, ways for a college to be sustainable. But what I also saw that, you know, while there is a lot of, you know, recognition that's deserved to both the administration here as well as to many of you in this room that have worked that and the people that came before us who worked that, there's also that bit that makes you wonder, you know, is this the release valve for political pressure that's building up over issues like the long-range development plan? You know, do we have to sacrifice a beautiful redwood ecological gem for, you know, what's to be green building and think that it's okay? And that's, you know, and that's at the root of the question that we're talking about. So, you know, I'm guessing that most of us have certainly had some pretty heated discussions about the long range development plan. And it's not as simple as green building or the ecology. There's plenty of gray area in between. And this is something that we're trying to bring to the foreground, where we can talk about this issue and figure out even what it means. And then there's the larger question. What does it mean that BP, British Petroleum, the second largest oil company in the world, means when they say sustainability? You know, we're talking about the first company to tap in the Middle East 100 years ago. We're talking about the company that pushed the coup in Iran in the 50s when the prime minister was forcing nationalization of the oil. And so here we are kind of talking about this idea of sustainability. And, you know, what we're going to get to in a few minutes tonight is about nuclear weapons. There is no bigger issue in my mind that begs the question of sustainability than the production of nuclear weapons, both the nuclear waste as well as them as instruments for domination of, look at the situation that we're in right now. And so before that, I would like to just kind of, you know, give you just a short story, you know. So, last year, I transferred here. I was writing for City Under Hope Press, a student newspaper. And I had talked to Mark about the situation where UC was managing nuclear weapons. And the more I heard, the more I was just like, holy shit, like, are you joking? And so then, you know, then he was telling me these two guys were coming up to talk about the issue. They were preparing to go on a hunger strike. And I was like, okay, I want to cover this for the newspaper. And I walked into this room, the UC and the bomb class from last year, and there's these two guys, Will and Darwin, sitting at the table speaking to us about the situation at hand. And I walked in that room wanting to cover it as a story. I left the room ready to go on a hunger strike because I found it so absurd that I couldn't just write about it, that it was like, okay, you know, it's time to do something more than that. And that was, you know, that's just kind of how it ended up, right? And then that happened, you know, into the Regis meeting. They voted to manage the Lawrence Livermore National Lab anyway. people got arrested, got kicked out. 2 days later, we started meeting, you know, living off our lives. So then the summer following that, I started doing research about this thing called the Long Range Development Plan. You know, I went last year during finals week, they had a hearing on the Timber Harvest Plan. I thought it was kind of odd that it was during finals week. Started doing research, and I found the basics, you know, basics. What is it? Is they're going to have 4,500 new students by 2020. It's the envelope for growth that they have every time that the campus is to expand. It consists of 120 total acres of development. 70 of those acres are in upper campus. It goes pretty far back, actually. We have a map we'll show you in a few minutes. And it came through a process where they had different committees with, you know, only a few student representatives on the committees. A lot of people that I talked to that went to the hearings a few years ago felt that they were ignored. They felt that they were wasting time, so they stopped going. And there's only a few students that felt that this process was acceptable. That they thought that this was a, you know, the power structure, that the institution that we're working with them was not navigable, that it was not possible to make change. And then what I also found is that, you know, the LRDP is not just an envelope for growth, as you might hear. It's the mask of this larger body, of the underlying hidden agendas that are at play here. That, you know, what it would do would open up the window for a closer relationship with the Silicon Valley industries, where they're planning the bio-info nanotech revolution, you know, meaning to revolutionize the world of technology. And that they are going to depend on UC Santa Cruz and our center in Silicon Valley to produce the researchers for this new world, you know, where the public university does all the basic, time-intensive, expensive research, and then once we find something that's valuable, they take it, turn it into, you know, whatever, a pharmaceutical, an industrial chemical, and these things themselves have much debate. So it's not just about the upper campus forest, it's not just about the fact that the city of Santa Cruz and the county of Santa Cruz sued UCSC because they cannot provide an adequate environmental impact report. That a court, a California Superior Court, found that the environmental impact report was insufficient in making sure that UCSC will take care of its share in helping housing prices are going to go up. The workers on our campus who are currently, you know, getting a hard bargain from UC, most of them already live in Watsonville, but if they don't already, they will. You know, we're talking about traffic, increased traffic, so they'll have to drive to work, it'll take longer. We're talking about water. Santa Cruz is already looking at a looming water crisis. And meanwhile, Santa Cruz is saying, well, you'll provide the water when you need it. They have no plan for where they're going to get water. They have no plan for how they're going to house students. And this is where we're at. And so there's many questions about the Long Range Development Plan. Yes, it's controversial. I try to give you the information as straight up as possible, but of course it's going to be a little bit slanted. But we urge you to look, you know, set aside tactics, the debates about the trees and all that stuff, to look at the issues, to kind of think about it yourself, and realize that, you know, not only is it a mask for these hidden agendas of UCSC, but it's also a linchpin for, you know, the beginnings of the movement where this affects everybody from environmentalists to, you know, social justice to all these issues. And it, you know, and it kind of, it goes in, and it's no coincidence that the people that wrote the environmental impact report that still has not passed the legal process, you know, currently the UC and the community are in negotiation, was written by one of the weapons contractors that manages the nuclear auditories. So on one hand, they're building nuclear weapons, on the other hand, they're telling us what development is going to mean in the upper campus forest. And this is a company you'll hear about soon. And so this is what we want you to think about some more. Leah, who's also a student here, she's in UC Navam, she's been working on this process and has had a similar process, will tell you a little bit more about, you know, kind of what's to come and what we can do about it.
So bear with me if I'm reading, you know, I have all the information, I'm just a little nervous. So yeah, I'm a student here, I'm in UC in the bomb, shout out to all you guys up there. But so throughout this class, we've heard some amazing speakers and we've been addressing like the topics of sustainability and And you've seen the bomb. We've been talking about like militarism and the role that the UC plays in the nuclear weapons complex, the military industrial complexes, and you know all of those complexes. So the more I learned, like the more it all kind of clicks into place, and you see that it's all so interconnected. And like when you take into account the recent events on campus, like four of the major issues for me that like I see are the worker struggle, the LRGP, militarism, and the budget crisis. I actually wrote a piece about this in the zine, so you can refer to that. But so like although these connections aren't necessarily so apparent, they're all deeply linked and they all affect each other. You could see that the University of California, it operates like a corporation, and it's one that is mainly concerned with profit. So while we're in this budget crisis, there's more money being allocated towards militarism and less for education. UCSC's answer to this problem is to raise student fees, accept private funding, and pay workers poverty wages. And through the enactment of the LRGP, there will be more profit and prestige. The regents who, you know, are pushing for this LRGP, as well as Blumenthal, they see this as a good thing because they're not directly affected by this. But it's us, as students and as community members of Santa Cruz, who are being affected by this and all of the ecological effects and some other issues that is going to take forever to get into. But, like, what drew me to organize around the LRGP was by picturing if the 2005 LRGP were to go through, what it would mean for UCSC. The things that I love most about this campus would be gone. So I just want to, like, take a minute to imagine what it would be like if the LRGP went through. You come back in 10 years, there would be no trailer park. The College 9 and 10 Meadow would be gone. And all of this would be destroyed to make room for parking lots and concrete buildings. Buildings in which genetic modification and animal testing is going to be conducted. So even if we make these buildings green, the effects of the ecosystem and this institution are not beneficial, but it's enactment of a destruction plan. No longer will UCSC be a liberal arts school, but one that is fueled by profit, patents, and prestige. So we're all here because we care, right? Whether it be about the environment, social justice, or whether we have a say in our future, this class has shown that there's much change that is needed. And feeding off the vibes of all of you here throughout this quarter, I see that there is momentum to make this change happen. What I've come to discover is that all of these issues are a result of an oppressive system. And we as the student body need to unite our fights because ultimately we're all fighting for the same goal. The goal of having a say in what our university or even our government for that matter does because it affects all of us. And we need a system that is responsive to people's needs and our wants. What the students here want is ethnic studies, smaller classrooms, and an overall higher quality of education. And of course, a sustainable campus. The movement of sustainability is vital, but the undermining toxic structures have to be dismantled in order for UC to be truly sustainable. Because an institution that manages nuclear weapons labs is not sustainable. Thank you.